rulers and the wisest among us would meditate for guidance to carry out awesome responsibilities, where we'd be given the secret for casting out all wickedness without personally needing to cast out anyone ourselves. In this wonderful locale, we would absolutely know the source of good as well as the remedy for evil. As I studied and contemplated this passage, I began calling it the Count Your Blessings verse. It reminds me that I can access a sacred treasure house deep within me, as can you and all other conscious beings. It reminds me to change the way I see the appearance of darkness in our world today. It reminds me that within me is the wondrous wellspring of the Tao. It reminds me to be willing to change the way I view myself and my role here as one of the 10,000 things. You can modify your conditioned way of viewing most things by looking at all that appears to be weighted with hatred, wickedness, and evil. According to Lao Tzu, no one is evil or wicked. Rather, those who live in contradiction to the Tao's teachings only appear to be so. Instead of casting them aside, you must reconnect them to the Great Way. So stay centered by thinking and behaving in ways that harmonize with the all-loving, all-knowing Tao, keeping in mind that this source doesn't inflict harm on, exclude, or judge anyone. It just gives life. Where you perceive negativity, alter your view to see pure love and kindness that's mistakenly being directed to seek a sacred place in the material world. That energy is powerful, and it's moving away from its source instead of returning and replenishing in the spiritual cycle that is its originating point. When you've succeeded in changing how you perceive so-called wickedness, invite others to see the difference as well. Thanks to your new point of view, you'll be quite comfortable discussing the difference between material world satisfactions and the riches of the Tao. And if requested, you'll be able to offer a map or a path to the sacred treasure house of the Tao. In a translation of the Tao Te Ching by Gia Fu Feng and Jane English, the 62nd verse concludes with the following words. Quote, "Why does everyone like the Tao so much at first? Isn't it because you find what you seek and are forgiven when you sin? Therefore, this is the greatest treasure of the universe." Unquote. Here's what Lao Tzu offers you in this Count Your Blessings gem of a verse. First, practice seeing the door of the treasure house opening to you. See yourself as a divine creation of the eternal Tao with the entrance to a sacred space always available to you. Know that what you thought of as negative can never be if it's able to enter the treasure-filled Tao. Visualize a house that's opening its front door to you and welcoming you to bask in the sacred warmth of its interior, and imagine leaving all angst and fear behind as you walk in. Make this home of the Tao a private retreat that you're free to enter with this meditative visualizing technique. It is divinity itself, and it can be your sanctuary at any time. And two, practice forgiving and avoiding judgment when you see reprehensible or evil-minded ways. Take Lao Tzu up on his advice for dealing with those who appear to be wicked people by mentally separating the individuals from their toxic behavior. Remember that they are divine creations of the Tao who simply believe that ego should control life. In your thoughts, erase the vileness, the wrongdoing, and the addictive or harmful actions, and allow those folks to just be there apart from their malevolent behavior. See the unfolding of the Tao in them, and picture them as innocent children who are overstimulated by ego's temporary stronghold. In your mind, forgive the evil conduct, and make every effort to wrap loving arms around the children you see before you. Lao Tzu urges you to treat yourself in a similar manner. Cast out any behavior you dislike about yourself, allow your pain to be felt, and absolve yourself. With these behaviors removed, visualize embracing yourself, and notice the radiant being of light who is yourself in your imagination. Practice elevating yourself with your Tao deeds and doling out kindness to others as well as yourself. This is how you apply this verse of the Tao, which is indeed the remedy for all evil. Do the Tao now. Today, make the decision to help one other person, if only for a few moments, to meditate on this verse's principle, but do so without mentioning the Tao Te Ching or this recording. Possibly send out an expression of love where you might have chosen anger, or mail a greeting card with a particularly meaningful verse of the Tao to someone who's assumed a new position of leadership. Whatever you do, your motivation is to help that man or woman unlock the door to his or her treasure house by offering keys in the form of your own Tao-centered thoughts and behaviors. The 63rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Quote, "Practice non-action. Work without doing. Taste the tasteless. Magnify the small. Increase the few. Reward bitterness with care. See simplicity in the complicated. Achieve greatness in little things. Take on difficulties while they are still easy. Do great things while they are still small. The sage does not attempt anything very big, and thus achieves greatness. If you agree too easily, you will be little trusted, because the sage always confronts difficulties. He never experiences them. Unquote. Living without difficulties. This verse conveys so much with an economical use of words. Every time I read what Lao Tzu is saying here, I feel that it's impossible for me to experience difficulties in my life if I'm willing to accept his sage advice. He counsels that we learn to think in moments rather than in days, weeks, months, years, decades, or a lifetime. All we ever get is right now. That's it. So we must avoid the inclination to magnify tiny events or worry about a future that may never arrive. It's the little things that make all the difference in our world, and keeping life simple replaces chaos. As Lao Tzu reminds us, see simplicity in the complicated. Do great things while they are still small. I followed that advice while writing the entire book that you're listening to. As you might imagine, writing individual essays on the 81 verses of one of the most revered and enduring spiritual texts has been a daunting task. A project like this involves at least a year of daily researching, reading, writing, and revising. Yet instead of focusing on the challenges of this project, I choose to see simplicity and take on difficulties while they are still easy. I immerse myself in a single verse in the morning, allowing the words to flow through my heart and onto the page. I feel like I've mastered the ironic conclusion of this 63rd passage, which says that difficulties are not experienced when they're confronted. This, then, is the wisdom of this verse. There's no such thing as difficulty when you live in the present moment, doing only what you can do right now. So examine your thoughts about what you call the troubles in your life. Can you shift to thinking of every undertaking as not only manageable but easy and small as well? After all, how do you pursue a difficult course of study that will take several years to complete? By not projecting yourself into the future or using your present moments to worry. How do you get through the long, difficult process of giving birth to a child, moment by moment? I've watched my wife do just that during the years she was either pregnant or nursing, delivering